Yeah, some things, some life experiences I can't talk about on YouTube, but on my own channel, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to set the captives free if I can. And I know what I've already been through and came through victoriously on the other side, that you're probably going to go through it, especially if you're a certain age. Cognitive dissonance. But before I tell you cognitive dissonance, I want to tell you this story. So I got caught up with a Jezebel who was talking a big talk, right? Talking a big talk, a big Bible talk, right? Anyway, so Jezebel tried to steal my house. So I said, okay, I'm not going to lose this battle. I'm going to take me a... I took a third shift job for a couple years until I went to court. I became my own lawyer, and I defeated that Jezebel. I mean, I destroyed her in the courtroom and her lawyer. Cross-examination and everything. And so anyway, it took about 2 years. They thought I would fold after 2 years, but they didn't know how crazy I was to fight Jezebel, because it's just like Elijah. There's nothing new under the sun. Her ex was an Ahab, so she thought she could turn me into an Ahab, which she had a rude awakening. Anyway, so what happened was, I took this second shift job, and it was a factory, right? I was a maintenance man at a factory. It was the hardest job I ever had. In the summertime, it was burning up. In the wintertime, I had to go outside, and it was freezing. So God was putting me through the ringer for, I shouldn't have married this person anyway. You know, he was giving me a lesson. You know, I was making money. I was winning the court case, and I was having it rough because it was a factory job and it was a hard job. So I was being spanked or scourged by God at the same time, because I shouldn't have married the person. But at the same time, he was allowing me to learn some lessons. As I look back, I learned a lot. So there was this guy working there, black guy. He was working on the line. So, when we'd have break, we'd talk to people. So I talked to him, or he talked to me about, you talk to everybody when you're... And so I was asking him some questions, about, because he was homeless. What came up was he said, I've been homeless. I said, you've been working here a long time. He said, yeah, this is a whole lot better than being homeless. And he told me some of his stories when he was homeless. And this is what he told me. Now, he wasn't saved at all. He was lost as all get out. But this is what he told me. He said, when I was homeless, nobody helped me. And I really did. By the end of it, I felt really sorry for him. He said, when I was homeless, nobody would help me. Nobody would feed me, He said, but if I talked to a girl and she knew I was homeless, she'd let me come over there to have sex. Now, think about it. He's lost. He's not saved, and he's going to date the unsaved one. He said, she would want me to come over there and have sex, but she wouldn't feed me, knowing I was homeless. He was serious. He was homeless till he got that job. He was not even joking. Now, one of the reasons that I rent to the homeless people, the ones that are trying to get back on their feet, so they say, is because that's how I overcame the courts thing, because there was an equitable distribution, but it was like $100 a month. I did lose that, but I gained because I rented a spot out for $300 a month, so I actually didn't have to pay that. The renter paid it. But long story short, I learned a big lesson. And the big lesson is, you can overcome. The universe is on your side. And if God sends you scrambled eggs, if you do it to yourself and God chastises you and you're saved, God's going to scourge every son he receives, or every daughter, if you're a saved woman and if you make a bad decision. God's going to take that, even though he's going to scourge you. He's going to spank you. He's going to take you to the woodshed. It's because if he didn't, you're not his. The Bible says if he didn't, the Bible says this in Hebrews to us. Otherwise, you're a bastard. If God doesn't scourge you, if God doesn't spank you, you're a bastard. So during that scourging, not only did I learn how God turns the negative into positive, but he also learned that when it looks dark, even when you made the decision and you know you were wrong, because you shouldn't have got yoked up with the unsaved, or the legalist, or the faker, or the Jezebel, or the Delilah, or whatever you get yoked up with, even though you made a mistake because you're God's son or you're God's daughter, really, truly born again, God is going to turn that around if you listen. He scourges every son he receives. Otherwise, you're a bastard. So he's received you because you received him. So he receives you into his fold. And so he's going to take that. It's going to look dark, but there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. He will not put on you more than you bear. Even if you do it, that still holds. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it. God is faithful. God is true. When you got every situation around you is a flesh versus spirit, Elijah versus Jezebel battle, you're going to win because the devil's already defeated foe. The reason he's letting you go through that is so when you go on the other side, you can help other people. I've been through a lot of battles in the real world that I haven't even talked about, that I became an overcomer because of God, because of Christ, because of his word, because of Psalm 1:1, the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1. You can overcome. But you got to believe it. You got to really believe it. Lord, I know you want me to overcome. And you can. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich or going to be come out without a scar. You might have a scratch or two, or you might have... You might get burned, you know, whatever burns you. And I'm not talking about fire burn. I'm just talking about being burned by something allegorically. You're going to get burned. You're going to get cut. You're going to get bruised. But that's all right. He's teaching you something. But when you put your hand on the stove and it's hot, you get burnt. You don't put your hand back on the stove. So you learn about Jezebel. You learn about Delilah. You learn about your old Adam. You learn about your decisions have long... You know, when you make one little decision, you can go downtown, make a decision, say, I'm going to get married. It wasn't take about... Go down here to the justice of the peace, get married. It takes about, 30 minutes? But that 30 minutes could last 3 years. Now, here's the thing about the narcissists. When they know that they know that you see what they are. They know you're getting ready to leave. They know you're making a plan to escape. They know that. They know it. The demon in them tells them. Your body language tells them. They study body language like crazy. Your responses tells them. The way you don't really believe their lies anymore, that tells them. When you start to see through them and everything, every word that comes out of their mouth, you know they're full of shite. They're full of shite. They're full of doo-doo. You know everything they say is just full of S-H-I-T. They're full of it. You know it, and they know that you know it. So when you start to escape, guess what? Then comes the drama. Then comes the trouble. Then comes the threats. Huh? Then comes the try to provoke you, try to get you in trouble with the law or whatever so they can... try to defame you to your family, your friends, your neighbors, whatever. They want you isolated so you can't escape. If you have one of these in your world and you want to escape, best thing to do is go get two jobs. And one of those jobs, that money's going for your new place, your new house, your new whatever it is, your new car. Because sometimes it's just, especially if you're married to one of them, sometimes you just have one car and one might be broke or something. And it usually they tear it up. They usually tear your car up. They're the one poisoning you. They're the one tearing your car up. They're the one speaking around the neighborhood, lying about you, lies that aren't even true to isolate you because they don't want you to escape. And if you have it hard, they think, well, he can't find anybody else. Or if it's a woman, she can't find nobody else. I'll do this to her so no other man will want her. I'll treat her this way so no other man will want her. That's the narcissist's mindset. That's the demon in them. They don't want to do right. They know you're going to do right. But they have to make you look like the bad guy. Or if it's a woman, the bad girl. So that they think they can isolate you so you can't move on without them. That's their mindset. They don't have a win-win. They have a win-lose. They're trying to destroy you. When you see through the narcissist, that they're full of S-H-I-T to the hilt. Everything they say is just baloney. I had one of them, she would make these sayings, and later on, you know, 10 years later, I was selling books, I would think, oh. Because I would say, where'd you come up with that saying? That's smart, or that's cool, or that's neat, or something like that. I don't know. And it was the title of books. You know, if you go to Amazon and look at all the different titles, she was just quoting book titles. But she was trying to take credit for it. She came up with that. You talk about insane. These people are crazy. They're crazy. She was plagiarizing book titles and making the comments and saying them and taking credit like she was some smart person or something, or she was some wise person when she didn't know nothing. It was all facade. It was all fake. It was all image. It was all painted face. And so they're not just a painted face in the skin, but they're a painted face in their soul, in their will, their emotions, their intellect, even saying they're saved. Look at Tila now. That woman is such a painted face in the spirit realm, it ain't even funny. And all your Pentecostals are. I'm sorry if you're Pentecostal, but I'm telling you. If you're just a member, I could see how you would. But the Pentecostal leadership are nothing but painted faces, every single one of them, because they know they're lying to their sheep. There's a lot of sheep. Some of the sheep are saved. But I'm talking about, when I talk about Pentecostal, I'm talking about the leadership. They're such liars, it ain't even funny. It's all emotion and love of money, pleases of men, wanting to get, they think the gifts of the Spirit is barking like a dog, stuff like that. They're sick. I didn't even get to my cognitive dissonance, but what they're trying to do is create scenarios, leadership, to where you can't do both at once, and so it splits your mind and makes you go to the dark side, or you get saved through that situation. The devil's system under law, the flesh, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The devil's system is a cognitive dissonance system. It will never work. The natural realm, everything's falling apart. And so man, instead of man running to Jesus, he's trying to figure out with his devices, and he's destroying his own self.